Welcome to Murder with the Misses. I'm Darren.
And I'm Amy. And today we're going to tell you the story of Laura Bible and Ashley Freeman.
Now this one right here, it's a little bit different because we actually lived in Miami, Oklahoma during the time. And we actually moved back home just a couple months before this actually happened. So we're going to tell the story and see what we come up with.
Yeah, it hit home for us because we could have crossed paths with any of these people at this time and wouldn't even have known.
Yep.
So I'm going to start the story with Shane Freeman, which is Ashley's brother. And he doesn't have a lot to do with the case necessarily, but it is believed that he has a lot to do with the way the investigation was handled.
Why is that?
Well, I'll tell you why. Because in January of 1999, way back in the day, Shane was on a kind of bad path, and he was acting out a little bit, and he stole a truck. And the truck broke down, and so when the police catch up with him, there's an altercation, and he ends up being shot by the police. And the Craig County Sheriff's Office went on to state that he went for a gun, and the officer was forced to shoot him. He didn't have any other choice. But Danny and Kathy Freeman, his parents, say that there's no mention of a firearm in the reports and that Shane was actually shot in the back while he was trying to flee the scene. So there's a little bit of a contradictory story going on both sides. And with Danny's history of abuse allegations against Shane and then Shane being shot by the police, there was no love lost between the Freemans and the Craig County Sheriff's Office. And it has been said that the cops were intimidating the Freemans to the point where Danny even told his stepbrother, Dwayne, that if anything ever happened to him, just to look at the sheriff's office.
They even told him that they could get away with whatever they wanted, and there was nothing they could do about it.
Yeah, and we've seen this. I mean, it's a small town.
Yeah.
Sometimes the police department or people in authority can get a little high on the horse. But the Freemans were actually gearing up to file a wrongful death suit against the sheriff's office for the shooting of Shane. So they were trying to get as much money together as possible to pay the lawyer. And rumors say that this is what led to Danny getting more involved in more of a drug scene, because that's a surefire way to get money back, legal or not. So then we fast forward a little bit to December of 1999. It's December 29th, and Ashley Freeman, Shane's sister, is turning 16. And her best friend, Laura Bible, comes to stay the night with her to celebrate the birthday. Ashley's boyfriend and several of Ashley's family members were at the house as well. The boyfriend says he left around 8:30 or 9 o'clock, when no one knows really what time the family members left. But the boyfriend later said that everything seemed like it was in a good place. Everybody was happy. Nothing was out of the ordinary. But then the following morning, on December 30th, 1999, sometime between 5:30, 5:45, a neighbor was actually passing by the house, and the house that's very far back off the road. It had a very long driveway, and so they could kind of see a glow, and as they got closer, they realized that the trailer was actually on fire. And back in 1999, cell phones weren't as popular as they are now. They were just kind of getting to be something that everybody wanted to have, but around here, not everybody had one, so they had to go to the next neighbor's house, use their phone to call 911. So the firefighters actually arrived around 6:10. So it wasn't too long after, but it being a trailer home, it was a total loss. We'll just say it was a total loss.
Yeah. And trailers back then, they burned pretty quick. I mean, it was, you know, I think they said it was like within seconds, the trailer house could burn up completely.
I think it's like 7 minutes. It takes for it to burn completely.
Like 7 minutes. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, but either way, that's like super quick compared to what a house could, because you could actually have a chance at saving a house, right, because of the way they're built. But a trailer house, once it goes up, you got literal minutes.
Yes, yes. So, and everything's gone. So once they finally get the fire put out, they actually see a body. It's face down on a waterbed. And besides the obvious burns that are on the body, there was a lot of damage to the back of the head that looked more like a gunshot than anything else. It was definitely not fire related. And the body was obviously a female, and she was wearing a wedding ring. So they instantly came to the conclusion this was Kathy. And because of the bad blood between the Freemans and the local police decided to call in the OSBI, which is the Oklahoma State Bureau of Investigations, to come in and handle the crime scene so that there would be no possible way that anybody else could say, oh, this was a horrible thing that they did. They didn't do things right, blah, 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 blah. Things. At this time, you've got one body. And there's three cars in the driveway, Kathy's, Danny's, and Laura's. And they knew it was Laura's because she had a customized license plate on the front of it. So they notify Laura's parents, it's Lorene and Jay Bible. They came to the scene, I think they said they got there around 9:15, but they weren't allowed up to the house. They had to stay at the end of the driveway because they had already taped the scene off.
So basically they found the mom being the only body at the scene.
Right.
And no Danny, no girls. Nope. Since the cops and Danny had a history, the theory was that Danny had been Ed did something bad, basically. I mean, he's thinking that he went off his, fell off his rocker.
Went off the rocker, yeah.
Yeah.
That's exactly what they thought. So they thought that he had lost it, killed Kathy, and then took the girl because bodies means.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, they had all the cars, you know, Danny's, Kathy's, Laura's, all the cars are still there at the driveway.
Right.
Where did he take them?
How did he take them?
I mean, it's like, that don't make any sense. So. I don't understand where they got that.
Right. The assistant district attorney was actually on the scene, and he was reportedly telling people that this was due to a drug debt, and that's why the house was burned down. That's why Kathy was killed. But there's really no evidence at the house that there was any kind of drug activity. So later in the evening, when it started getting dark, the police actually released the scene to Danny's stepbrother, Dwayne. So around 5 p.m., there's no more police tape. There's no more anything. And some rumors were that Danny was hiding in a nearby wooded area waiting to shoot the police when it got dark. So they were trying to get out of Dodge.
So they thought he was literally waiting in the woods.
Yeah.
So they got scared.
They were scared.
They were scared is what it was. So.
They were. They were very scared.
Yeah. So, I mean, that is, I don't know. I just mean, that don't make no sense. They scared, so they didn't do their investigation.
Right.
Gotcha.
Right. This whole case is wild. Yeah. And so Lorene's trying to find her daughter. Like, it doesn't matter if it's dark or not. Her daughter has not been seen since the night before. And so she's not taking no for an answer. So she goes to the cops at the scene. She's like, what about the girl? Are you not going to look for the girl? And they actually had OSBI agent Nutter on the scene. And he said that if Danny took the girls, that it was probably best that they just let him cool down for a bit, which, okay. But at the same time, if he's angry, if he's killed his wife, if he's burned his house down, it's probably best that you try to find the girls as quickly as possible so that you have a better chance of finding them unharmed, which makes sense to me. And they were also at this time, I'll give them this, they were also getting tips because you know how people are. They were getting tips that people were actually seeing Danny and the girls at a gas station getting gas. So they're getting reports that the girls are with Danny, the girls are alive, but that doesn't tell them what kind of shape the girls are in or what kind of mindset Danny's in. So either way. So it was like 12:31. So the next day, when it gets daylight, here comes Lorene and Jay. They're coming back to check this crime scene themselves because at this point, like I said, it's back at the family, so the cops have nothing to do with it. So by the time they get there, within 5 minutes of them getting there, they find another body. There's actually footprints in the ash on the body, meaning that he had been walked over the day before by the investigators. And the face is basically missing from the roof of the mouth and up. You can tell it's a man, but over half of his face is gone.
So he's shot by a shotgun or something?
Sounds like a shotgun, yeah. So his stepbrother, Dwayne, was actually able to identify him right there on the scene because a couple of years before this, Danny had actually accidentally shot himself in the face. And so he had a wire that ran through his nasal cavity to kind of hold everything together. And you could clearly see this with the face gone.
But didn't they also say that besides that right there, that some reports said that he had a metal plate in his head too.
There were some of a metal plate. Yeah.
So, I mean, I remember that. I remember him saying that, that there was like two different things that identified him. That might, one said it was a metal plate and the other one said it was that wire running through his.
Right.
So, but they never exactly confirmed which way it was.
Right. Now, yeah. I have seen more reports that say it was the nasal wire.
Okay.
That's why I went with that one. But there has been, I mean, you're always going to have conflicting information. But either way, he was able to be identified right there. And so now they have both parents and obvious gunshot wounds to the head and still no girl. So the Bibles, and I think they had around 100, 150 volunteers from the community, which is outrageous because this community only had between 600 and 800 people at the time. So that's a huge chunk of this community that came together, and they start tearing this crime scene apart, which I would be too. My kid's missing. You've now found two bodies. The police obviously were in a hurry the day before, I guess how you could say it. So they start tearing everything apart. They see that Laura's keys are still in the ignition of her car. They find her purse, which has $200 cash in it. And even though that is there, the cop theory changes to maybe the girls killed Kathy and Danny, set the house on fire to destroy the evidence, and then ran.
With no car, no money.
Yeah.
I mean, because obviously they found Laura's car with Laura's purse in it with $200.
And the keys, yeah.
And the keys in there. So, yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah, even, I think at 16, you could probably come up with a better estate plan than let's leave everything and go on foot.
Exactly, because they need money.
You have to have money.
You have to have money. The whole world revolves around money.
Yes, even then. So I never said it had to make sense, but their theories are definitely out there. So the volunteers actually ended up finding about 13 guns because Danny and the Freeman family were avid hunters. They were outdoorsmen. Their trailer did not even have running water. So they were really kind of off grid, and they hunted for a lot of their food. So there were guns there. And the volunteers and all of them laid these guns out in the yard. You know, here you go, cop. I mean, they did everything but put a bow on it. And the cops never tested any of the guns to see if it was the murder weapon. And then a couple of days later, Dwayne, seeing how wonderfully this investigation was going, he decided to hire two private investigators. And they actually charged him $1 to provide their services. And so they joined the investigation and were trying to get somewhere because the police were not.
So they volunteered their services pretty much because I have never been able to hire anyone for a dollar.
Right. Nobody's going to do anything for a dollar.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was volunteer. So basically that was like out of their kindness of their heart, but they had to charge something.
Right.
Okay. I got you.
You're right. You give me a dollar and I'll do whatever you need me to do. Yeah. So that started their contract. So the private investigators actually find an insurance verification card. And it had a woman's name on it that had no ties to the Freeman. Now, this, remember, it's a small community. Everybody knows everybody. But you find this insurance card from a woman who lives in Kansas. And nobody can say who this woman is. So nobody has any inkling of how this insurance card would have got there. The private eye, doing his due diligence, takes it to the OSBI agent. And he's like, here's this card. Looks important. Let's look into it. And Agent Nutter actually told him to leave the investigation to the big boys.
Oh, yeah, because they're doing such a bang-up job so far.
Right. I got you. Right. They're doing great.
Mm-hmm.
And this insurance card actually was, in my eyes, a huge piece of evidence. And you'll understand why as we go along. But the PI actually is the one who followed up, and he met with a woman in Kansas at her house. And she led them to a man that she lived with named Phil Welch. He lived with her in Kansas, but he also had a meth house in Pitcher, Oklahoma, which is right up the road. They find Phil Welch actually a couple of days later, and they notice immediately that he had burnt fingers.
Oh, that's weird.
Isn't it?
That's a little weird.
Strikes me as odd that he was randomly. But so they start talking to him. I believe they had lunch with him, like they were building a rapport. You know how they do, get you comfortable. But when they asked about them Wells girls, he started spouting Bible verses and saying random things and then just got up and left. Well, the PIs can't really chase him down or I guess they get citizen arresting, but they have no evidence. There's no way they can do that. And so they actually have to continue their investigation because there's nothing more they can do with him. He's gone now. So they get rumors, actually, of a video of a girl being assaulted. And the girl actually resembles one of the missing lost girls. And it was filmed in another local meth house. But as they investigated, they realized that this wasn't tied to them. They were able to rule out that this was even part of their investigation. It had nothing came of it. So we're going to fast forward to, hold your horses, 2011.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So an ex-girlfriend of Phil Welch actually reported hearing conversations between Phil, a guy named David Pennington, and a guy named Ronnie Busick bragging about committing these crimes of killing the parents and burning the house down. But then they also mention assaulting and torturing these two girls before they killed them and left the bodies in an abandoned mine. There's lots of abandoned mines in Fisher. And also, she reported that there were Polaroids that showed bound girls. And even some of the Polaroids had Phil Welch in the picture. Like, you could see it was him. Supposedly about 12 people saw these Polaroids, and all 12 came forward when they were in this investigation at this time to confirm. And then Phil even put the missing posters of the girls on the wall of their house, so the woman was able to confirm that the girls in the Polaroids were the girls on the missing posters.
Well, it sounds like Phil's basically the prime suspect.
Right.
I mean, where was these 12 people all this time?
Exactly.
I mean, not one came forward at all?
No, this whole time.
And wasn't this the same girl that was on the insurance card?
No, this was actually a different girlfriend of his.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so now you've got two women.
Oh, okay.
Who, the first woman that was actually living with him when this crime happened, she actually told them Phil had her car that day.
Oh.
So they know Phil has this car. They know her insurance card ends up at the crime scene randomly. And yet they still do nothing with it. Oh. Right.
Good. Isn't investigating.
Yeah, sure not. So it's what's sad too. I mean, this is all sad, but another sad part is that it's reported that these girls were held for up to 2 weeks before they were actually killed. So if one of these people had come forward or the police had actually investigated, there was a possibility that they could have found these girls alive. We don't know that for sure, but I mean, hindsight.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty obvious.
Yeah. I mean, they really dropped the ball on this investigation big time.
We're going to loosely call it an investigation.
Yeah. I mean, the mom.
Mm-hmm.
Has done better investigation than.
Oh, Miss Bible has
been
on it. Yes,
Miss Bible has done way more better investigation than any of them.
Lorene Bible was actually the one who followed up on the leads. Like, she said she put over 200,000 miles on her car just following up on leads that the cops would not follow up on. Which I know it's hard because in things like this, especially when there's missing people, a lot of people are trying to do their best. They're trying to help. And they may not, you know, you don't carry around missing posters in your pocket. You just see them at a glance. So when you see somebody that could resemble that person, you're going to want to call it in. And so they were getting reports that they were in Florida at the same time they were getting reports they were in New Mexico. And so the cops can't exactly just start throwing resources out there, but Lorene did.
I mean, if she's got solid evidence, I mean, as if I was a cop, I mean, I would definitely look into it.
Even if you're not following up on the reports of people seeing these missing girls in all these different places, I have to go back to the insurance card.
Yes, like, exactly.
It was right there in your lap.
Right in your face. I mean, it's just like, it's weird. So all these witnesses and all the possible evidence, you know, to look for in 2011, and they don't find anything else to win.
2017.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And I'll tell you why. It's because it was out with the old, in with the new.
Oh, so they changed hands at the police department.
That's right.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yes.
But, I mean, they should have done it a lot sooner, but, you know, that should have happened. I mean.
Well, these are elected officials.
Yeah, I know, but still. It's like, in my head, you know, it's like, why are these cops being investigated?
Well,
why isn't that OSPI agent being investigated?
And they may have had an internal affair investigation to see what the hell is going on, because
not good enough.
But it came up, nothing came of it.
Not good enough.
Okay, so wait a second. Now they did do lie detector tests on all the police that were involved with Shane's shooting and things like that. They did do that, but they all miraculously passed.
As far as like them, it tying them to them shooting
Shane plus this investigation.
Okay,
like did they do anything that they felt was unethical or blah blah? You know, the whole spiel.
But still, that don't. It doesn't prevent the fact that they didn't do their job.
Correct.
At the beginning.
Correct.
Of this whole investigation, where was the girls? They went and looked for these girls off this insurance paper, and they still didn't go any further from it.
Yeah.
You know,
because there are,
like reports. You said, if they would have went there within that 2 weeks, they possibly could have found them.
Here's the thing. There's some reports that say that the cops did go talk to this woman.
And then that was it.
And then did nothing.
And that was it. Yes.
So even if they did, okay, great. You did part of your job, but then what?
Yeah, but I mean, that's what I'm saying. If they found that insurance card, that right there should have been enough for a judge to get a search warrant for that place.
I'm not a judge.
I mean, that's
my common sense says that. I mean, I've seen people get search warrants on way less.
Well, especially for like, you know, two kidnapped children.
These are 16-year-old girls.
Exactly. Two kidnapped children that they're trying to find, and they got actual, I mean, almost rock solid evidence that they might be at this place.
Mm.
A judge would go, okay, go check it.
Even if not at that place, that the person who lived at that place took them.
He could tell them, walk on eggshells while you're there.
Right.
But go look.
They should have been able to get a search warrant to go into the house to look for evidence that either he was at the scene, he had evidence of the girls being there, anything.
Exactly.
Because there's also rumors that this woman who saw these Polaroids was like, that's my bedspread.
Yeah.
Meaning that puts the girls at that house.
So where were these Polaroids? Where'd they go?
Nobody ever found them.
Oh.
Yeah. These are all rumored too. So here you don't really have hard evidence, but if you've got 12 people coming for more than 12 coming forward saying, hey, I saw these Polaroids. Yes, it was.
Yeah, but that
girls.
Insurance card was solid.
Yes.
That insurance card was solid.
That was,
I mean,
the best lead.
Yes. And I mean, and you know, now we're what, 2017 and that insurance card basically is invalid.
Yeah.
Now.
And there's also conflicting stories on where the insurance card was. Some people say because all the evidence got put in a box and put in storage.
Yeah.
And so when the new people came in 2017, came in and pulled that box out and dusted it off, some people say the insurance card had been in there that whole time. Some reports say that the private investigator had it because Nutter wouldn't take it on the scene. And they actually went, because when they went and found the woman on the verification form, she told them the car was at a salvage yard. This is only a couple of days later. Why are they ditching the car? But anyways, suspicious. But they go to the salvage yard, get permission, go through the car, find girls' clothes and things like that, collect that evidence, take it to the cops. The cops are like, it's touched too many hands, it's tainted. Okay.
Still, look at the address.
Look at it. Do your own investigation.
Yeah. Sorry that all these people that are here to help me freaking touch this insurance card, but here's an address. At least go look.
That's the thing, though. The insurance card was found on the scene that day given to the cops. It wasn't something that a couple days later was found in a third location. No, this was right here, right there, right now.
They dropped the ball on that one.
They dropped everything on that one. So in 2018, they restart the investigation in 2017, start looking at everything, and then they finally decide that they're going to start asking these three guys what's going on. Well, there's only one that's left alive at this point, which is another sad thing about the story, is that because it took them so long to actually even question these three guys that were needing to be suspects from day one, they wait so many years later, and then they end up with Ronnie Busick. And so they talk to Ronnie, and at first he's, classic. I know nothing. I saw nothing, blah, blah, blah. But he eventually decides, I guess he like realizes that since he's the only one left alive, he can just blame the other two guys. So that's what he does.
Dead man can't tell no tales.
Yeah, dead men tell no tales. That's for sure. So he's like, they did it. And then they're like, well, how do you know they did it? You know, because you can't really say you know they did it without saying you knew of it.
Yeah, exactly.
So he starts trying to make deals. He's like, okay, so if I lead you to the bodies of the girls, will you get rid of all these murder charges and all the arson charges and just charge me with accessory to murder? And the state's like, sure. Why not? But murder? But they don't really have any evidence. So I guess they can't really. Okay, I'll give that. So they decide yes. And he tells them where to go to look for the bodies. And guess what they find?
What?
Nothing.
Well, I would say I'm shocked, but I can't be.
Yeah, well, you're about to be.
Oh,
because
yeah.
He told them that the other two must have moved the bodies without telling him. And the state was like, okay, cool. We'll still just charge you with accessory to murder.
So they still... So he gives him nothing.
Yeah.
And then still gives him what he wants.
Yeah, he still gets what he wants out of the
job. I'd been... No. No. I've been like, you said that you would take me to the bodies.
Right.
You didn't honor your deal.
Tit for tat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You did not honor your deal, so no. Guess what? Deal changes.
Mm. Well, you would think.
Mm.
But it didn't.
It would happen that way for anybody else, I guarantee you.
Well, they end up finding him guilty of accessory to murder. So they have enough evidence, obviously, to get him charged with a crime. And I just think that they could have went for higher charges. Like, why not? Why not stack a couple on there? Because we know people that go to jail and they'll put everything on there down to jaywalking just to have extra charges for extra time.
Yeah.
Plus extra money. You know, I'm just saying restitution thing. So they find him guilty and he was sentenced to 10 years in prison and 5 years probation.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Hold on to your knickers because he only served about 3 years and was released in May of 2023.
The system is so jacked up. They have people convicted of much lesser crimes than this serving three times the sentence of this guy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's guys that are still in jail over weed. You know what I mean?
It is legal in Oklahoma now, for those who don't know.
Yeah, but I know, but I mean,
just medical.
Yeah, it's just like, you know.
Right.
So dumb.
Right. We know people that I'm not even going to go into stories. We could talk all day.
Yeah.
We could talk all day.
So dumb.
So the Bibles, Dwayne, their friends, the volunteers, they've actually been the true investigators in this whole thing, as we've seen. But, and even Lorraine, she asked Mr. Nutter, Mr. OSBI agent Nutter, about the girls being in the missing persons database, the NCI, or whatever it's called. And I can't think of it right now. I apologize. Mm-hmm. But he said, oh, yeah, I've got him put in there. Don't you worry. And then a couple of days later, she, being a small community, she knows everybody. She went to Vanita, Oklahoma, and talked to them and was like, okay, I just want to make sure they're in there. And they were not. So not only was he not investigating, he was lying about doing his job. Yeah, I'm totally doing my job. Lies.
Doing what they do. They tell you what you want to hear.
Exactly.
Yep.
He just didn't want to hear. He wanted her out of his face.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's the thing that gets me too. Even if the Freeman family had some kind of long-standing rivalry or whatever it is with the police department, what's the OSBI have to do with it? They were brought in as a third-party neutral investigation.
Well, I mean, ultimately, they should have been the ones to take it over.
And they did, but they still did the same shitty job that the other did.
They still dropped the ball on it and everything else. That's what I'm saying.
So they were failed by local and state police.
Yeah. Just comes down to they're lazy and everything. They didn't take their job serious. Somewhere down the line, the job they love, they lost interest.
Something. The one thing that they did do right was calling the FBI, OSBI.
Yeah.
That was the one thing that the local police, I can say 100%, did properly, because that's what they should have done.
Yeah.
To keep themselves out of the investigation, because then the investigation is not tainted, quote unquote.
Yeah.
But the OSBI was on the side of law enforcement, which is what happens most of the time. Yeah. And even though they may not have been involved with the whole Shane and I can't say the other officer's name right now, but even if they were unaware of that, they still came in and did a bad job.
Yeah.
So nobody got help.
Yeah. And don't take this wrong. Don't think I'm like bashing police or law enforcement or anything like that. I was like, my dad, he was a cop for most of my life.
But he was a good cop.
But he was a cop.
Your grandpa was a cop.
My grandpa was a cop. They did their job.
Yeah, they did.
They love their job. This is what they live for. Yes. And today, cops nowadays, they just want the badge.
A lot of them just want the power.
Yep. They want the badge and they want what comes with it.
Yeah.
They don't care about what it means, what it stands for.
Right.
And everything. And that's sad because, you know, sometimes we need policemen.
Of course we do. Absolutely. That's what we're supposed to
sometimes
have.
Sometimes we need them. We need to feel safe. We need to feel like they're going to help us and do the things that we need them to do or help us out with that.
Plus, if some crimes get committed, the first thing they do is say, well, did you call the cop to file a report? So you don't, if you have to go through the legal system as a victim or as a perpetrator, whatever you're going through, it all starts with the local police. Like, you have to have the police. Yep. And so if you can't trust them, if you have bad blood with them, if you've been wronged by them, you don't want to call the police. And that's what happens in a lot of these communities, is that the trust is gone. Not every cop is bad or not doing the job. We're not talking about a blanket statement here. We're talking about a select group.
No, and it's just like a select few. I mean, it's just there's some of them that are out there that still love the job for the job.
Absolutely.
And then there's just some of them, like I said, they want the badge and what it means behind and the power behind it. I mean, that's it.
Right.
And they get that big head.
Exactly.
I mean, it's sad but true and everything. But I will tell you this much, Miss Bible.
Bible.
She has taken it into her own hands with this thing. And
absolutely.
I am, man.
Her ending.
She is that parent that every parent should be.
Yes.
The one that would fight tooth and nail for her children. I mean, that lady right there, she's a fighter. I like it.
She is. And she's actually, I don't know how involved she is with it, but it is named after her daughter. But we have a House bill pending right now, House Bill 2946, and it's to add accessory to murder in the first or second degree to the list of crimes requiring an offender to serve 85% of their sentence before they're even eligible for parole.
Absolutely.
Because he got 10 years, but got out in 3.
Yeah, no, he should have done more than 85%. He should, I mean, they shouldn't even gave him that deal to begin with, but. But yeah, actually at least 85% is what he should have served, but I think he should have got more than just the 10 years or whatever, but because he didn't do nothing. He just rambled on a story and said, hey, I'll take you to him and everything. Cause the whole thing is his buddies were dead.
Yeah. Yeah.
They can't argue.
Exactly.
They can't argue with him and tell him, no, that ain't how it went down. For all we know, this guy's the one that did everything.
Exactly. Plus, you've got the woman, the ex-girlfriend of Phil Welch, who was saying, I heard these three men having conversations bragging about this.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, that's the end of our show. I hope you guys enjoyed it. This was our first podcast and everything, and we're hoping that there'll be many more.
We're trying.
If you guys liked it and everything, please like, subscribe, follow us and everything. Share it with your friends, you know, just tell them. I mean, we're just basically, this was our first one, and this one kind of hit home for us because it, you know, it's the same state and we're from
same area,
and we actually lived in that area, you know. We moved back from where, you know, where we're from,
2 months
before this even happened. So I mean, that's why it really hits close for us. And you know, but anyway, we really enjoyed it and we hope you guys enjoyed it too. So stay tuned for the next one.
Yeah, we'll be back with more stories.
Yep. Thank you.
Bye.